The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
The U.S. puts troops on standby for deployment to Eastern Europe. How far is the U.S. prepared to go to defend Ukraine?
What President Biden has said is that if Russia were to attack Ukraine, he would bulk up U.S. forces in Poland, Romania, and Eastern flank states to better protect NATO, not to protect Ukraine.
Plus, a judge nixes New York's mask mandate, and a big moment in space exploration as the James Webb Telescope arrives at its new home. It's Tuesday, January 25th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The U.S. is putting more than 8,000 American troops on standby for a potential deployment to Eastern Europe. That announcement comes as the U.S. and its NATO allies brace for a potential Russian invasion of Ukraine. Last night, British Foreign Secretary Liz Truss said the U.K. would also continue providing support to Ukraine, including through the provision of defensive weapons.
What we are facing is a serious global issue of aggressors seeking to advance and challenge freedom and democracy. And it's very important we work with all our allies, because if there was an incursion into Ukraine, that would have implications not just for Europe, but also more widely globally.
Russia, meanwhile, continues to deny it's planning an invasion of Ukraine. We'll have more on how far the U.S. may be willing to go to defend Ukraine later in the show. London's Metropolitan Police is looking into allegations of several COVID breaches at Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Downing Street offices and residence. Met Police Commissioner Cressida Dick made the announcement during a hearing in the London Assembly.
As a result, firstly, of the information provided by the Cabinet Office inquiry team, and secondly, my officer's own assessment, I can confirm that the Met is now investigating a number of events that took place at Downing Street and Whitehall in the last 2 years in relation to potential breaches of COVID-19 regulations.
It adds to pressure on UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson following numerous revelations of parties being held at Downing Street during the early pandemic lockdowns. Johnson has previously apologized and said that he's never knowingly broken COVID rules. A Long Island judge has struck down New York's indoor mask mandate. The judge said state health officials needed approval from the legislature for a December rule requiring face coverings in schools, transit hubs, and other indoor settings. New York's governor, Kathy Hochul, has said she strongly disagrees with the ruling and is pursuing every option to reverse it immediately. The ruling is the latest setback dealt by the judicial branch to government-imposed COVID-19 restrictions after the Supreme Court earlier this month blocked federal vaccine or testing rules for large employers. And a judge in Georgia has approved the creation of a grand jury to investigate efforts to overturn the state's 2020 election results. Former President Donald Trump pressed state officials to overturn the results of that vote, including in a recorded phone call with Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. A journal investigation also found that the Trump White House pushed out the then U.S. attorney in Atlanta after Trump believed he wasn't doing enough to investigate purported fraud. The newly approved grand jury in Georgia's Fulton County won't have the authority to return indictments, but it can issue subpoenas, demand documents, and recommend criminal charges. Streaming platforms are in a mad scramble for new subscribers, and to set themselves apart from the competition, they've kicked off a great content war, producing a record number of scripted TV shows last year and putting everyone from writers to visual effects studios in high demand. Here with a look at one company cashing in on all that enthusiasm is Markets editor Jim Wilhite. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Luke.
Could you tell us about this latest news from DNEG, a company I imagine most people don't know by name?
It's a Hollywood effects studio. Even if people don't know the name, a lot more are likely to have seen its work. It worked on the movie Inception more than a decade ago, more recently on Tenet, which that was an unusual as a big budget release earlier in the pandemic. It was also involved in the recent Matrix installment.
And what are they announcing here? What is this deal that is going to take them public?
Well, they're going public via a SPAC, which is a blank check company. Essentially, their whole purpose to exist is to find another company to buy. And then that company automatically is trading publicly because the blank check company was trading already. Valuation for DNEG is going to be about $1.6 billion. They had tried to go public through a traditional IPO 2-3 years ago, but that was put off because of market volatility.
Jim, what does this tell us, you think, about the demand for streaming services right now? We've heard from Netflix just last week, and it was clear they're kind of struggling in this great streaming war.
Well, demand for streaming services is huge. And it's true that Netflix said that its growth could slow in part because of all that demand has created a lot more competitors. But for a company like DNEG, that's great news because the Netflixes and Disneys of the world are spending big to build up their content pipelines.
DNEG does most of its work for the film industry, which is undergoing some change, you know, balancing growth in markets like China with an uncertain future for the traditional box office elsewhere. We've also heard some analysts say we've reached peak television. So where is the growth opportunity then for companies like DNEG?
Well, DNEG's CEO has said that demand uptick is still very much ongoing. In part, that's because of the big players trying to do what they can to lure more viewers to their platforms. But the company's also said that they'd like to expand into gaming, and its animation work could also potentially find a home in the metaverse, where people could virtually interact online.
I'm getting a little queasy just imagining a Inception VR metaverse experience, so we'll see about that. That's Markets Editor Jim Wilhite. Jim, thank you so much.
Thanks, Luke.
Coming up, as the Pentagon puts American troops on standby for a deployment to Eastern Europe, how far is Washington willing to go to defend Ukraine against a possible Russian invasion? We've got more on that after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
The Pentagon has put 8,500 U.S. troops on alert to potentially deploy to Europe amid growing concerns that Russia could soon make a military move on Ukraine. The decision comes after President Joe Biden consulted with key European leaders last night on a NATO response force, and it suggests diminishing hope that Russia will back away from invading neighboring Ukraine, in spite of numerous Kremlin assurances that Moscow isn't planning an invasion. For more, we're joined by Journal national security correspondent Michael Gordon. Hi, Michael.
Glad to be here.
Michael, what is the significance of putting these U.S. troops on alert? I understand they're not going to Ukraine, which isn't a NATO country. So does that mean that the U.S. is considering sending troops to surrounding countries?
I mean, President Biden's made it clear from the get-go that he's not going to send U.S. troops to Ukraine to fight there. The U.S. has the Florida National Guard there, some special operations forces there to train Ukrainian forces and Western Ukraine, but the U.S. has ruled out sending troops to Ukraine to fight. But NATO, particularly Poland, Romania, the Baltic states, is exceedingly anxious about this Russian buildup near them. And what President Biden has said is that if Russia were to attack Ukraine, one of the steps he would take would be to bulk up U.S. forces in Poland, Romania, and eastern flank states to better protect NATO from Russian intimidation, not to protect Ukraine. And so 8,500 troops have been put on alert. They haven't been sent. Deployment orders have not been initiated, but they've been told to get ready. If they were to deploy, they would either be part of a NATO response force that would perhaps move east to these Eastern Bloc NATO countries, or they might go unilaterally to one of these countries with that ally's request.
So that's what the U.S. might do, but Washington is already supplying Ukraine with some military assets. Could you bring us up to speed there?
Well, the amount of Russian force in that corner of the globe is really quite something. They've literally moved forces from the Far East, from Vladivostok, from near Mongolia, from near China, missile units, armored units. So they've swung the bulk of their kind of operational military toward this area near Ukraine. And they've also done another thing that's rather extraordinary. They're under the guise of an exercise, they're moving in forces north of Ukraine and Belarus. So they have forces north, east, and south. The U.S. has a longstanding relationship of providing defensive weapons to Ukraine and some modest training. In recent days, it's accelerated a little bit, but the kind of weapons the U.S. is giving Ukraine are anti-tank weapons. Ukraine's now getting American-made Stinger surface-to-air missiles from Baltic states. They've been getting ammunition. These are tactical battlefield weapons. They're not the kind of weapons that could possibly threaten Russian territory. And military experts who look at the Russian forces and the Ukrainian forces generally believe the Ukrainians are considerably outmatched.
I have to say, all of this feels like a pretty big shift from where we were at the end of last week, with the U.S. and Russian diplomats meeting in Geneva, saying they might give diplomacy a little bit more time to work. Is that sort of diplomatic off-ramp to this crisis now closed off because of these latest escalatory steps?
The Russian strategy all along has been to escalate. And I talked with the deputy Russian foreign minister, Sergei Ryabkov, a couple weeks ago for a journal interview, and he expressed zero interest in de-escalation. In fact, the Russian strategy is to negotiate, but to negotiate at the point of a gun. The Americans have appealed multiple times for the Russians to de-escalate and say that would create a better atmosphere for the talks, and instead the Russians have done the precise opposite. So yes, they're going to talk, but nobody is holding out a great deal of hope for these talks, but the diplomatic option has not been exhausted just yet.
Negotiating, sure, but negotiating, as you mentioned, at the point of a gun seems like a risky strategy.
Deterrence is a risk. Putin, as we've wrote in the journal last week, is a bit of a risk taker, and he's achieved considerable military superiority in and around Ukraine. And he's made demands. He's made them publicly. It's not so easy to walk away from negotiating position when you state it in great detail to the world. This has all been coupled, according to British intelligence, with an effort to topple the Ukrainian government and install a Russian proxy and to destabilize the country. On the U.S. side, they've offered arms control talks on medium-range missiles. They've offered scaling back of exercises on both sides. They've offered an assurance that the U.S. won't put any offensive weapons that could strike Russian territory in Ukraine. But there's a real disconnect between the arms control, stability sorts of proposals the U.S. is putting forth, and the Russian demands that NATO formally renounce expansion to the east, pull troops back to where they were in 1997, cut off all military support for Ukraine and other former Soviet republics. They've been talking on two entirely different wavelengths. So it began with Putin, and in the end, it's going to be his decision about how far he wants to push this.
That was Journal national security correspondent Michael Gordon. Michael, can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
And finally, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you may remember NASA's Christmas Day launch of its James Webb Space Telescope. Well, the long-awaited replacement for the famed Hubble Telescope has now arrived at its final destination, roughly 1 million miles from Earth. The $10 billion telescope is expected to capture unprecedented views of far-flung galaxies. Klaus Pontoppidan is a project scientist at the Space Telescope Science Institute.
A telescope is really a time machine. Because light travels at a finite speed through the universe, we see the universe as it existed when that light was emitted. It's traveled through time and space.
And there's a buzz of excitement in the scientific community about what this could mean for space exploration.
We have plans for the first year, where things that we think we'll see. We think we'll see the first galaxies. We will characterize atmospheres of exoplanets, but we will find new things that we have no idea exists right now. And I'm so excited to find out what that is.
And that's What's News for Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.